Hello, and welcome to the Book for the Month podcast, a Shrewsbury High School radio book club for young adults who enjoy reading and talking about books. Our show is a production of Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. Views expressed in this program do not reflect the opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or its volunteer readers. Welcome to the Book for the Month podcast, where we discuss a new book theme every month. We are your hosts, Sri Gori.
And Marlena.
And today we have...
Lucy.
Carly.
And Miss Redberg.
Here with us today. So our theme for this month was classics retellings. Just to start us off, what do you guys think about classics in general? Do you guys have any favorite authors, favorite books?
So my favorite is Anne of Green Gables, probably. I read all of, like, the sequels. I think there's, like, I don't know how many, but, yeah, very, very good.
I've always just been a big fan of, like, Shakespearean things. Some of my favorites are Midsummer Night's Dream and Twelfth Night, and I feel like those lessons and some of the stories, even today, they're, like, really cool to talk about.
Okay. I'm really sorry to say this, Sri Gori and Lucy, and all those classic-loving people out there, because I do not like classics. Most of them, I hate The Great Gatsby, The Passion, and most others. I know, I'm sorry to all those fans out there, I'm really sorry. But the ones I like the most, if I had to pick, would probably be Jane Eyre, that I'm reading right now, and I wouldn't say I love it, but I do like it. And Midsummer Night's Dream was definitely a good story. I remember liking that.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm just going to jump in. Have you tried Jane Austen? Because all of her books are so good. Like, they're classic romance stories, but she also has a lot of other lessons. I just recently read, maybe like a week ago, Northanger Abbey with Catherine Tilney and Henry Tilney, and there were so many lessons applicable today. And, like, there's even a bit of, like, the fourth wall breaking where Jane Austen herself, like, interjects within the chapters. I just think it's a really good book, especially for people that don't like classics. It just reads like a rom-com, honestly.
I would like to read Pride and Prejudice and several others of Jane Austen books, because I think those would probably be the ones I'd like the most.
Okay, that's acceptable.
But to piggyback off of that, my go-to classic author is Jane Austen, but I also love Lucy, Maud Montgomery, and Anne of Green Gables. Obsessed, and I've read a couple of good retellings that I'm really obsessed with, one by Heather Fawcett that was amazing. And then I also am a big fan of Little Women. So Little Women, Jane Austen, Anne of Green Gables are mine.
I will note, I may not like the classics. I love when a retelling is written well. I love it. Fairy tale retellings, classic retellings, I love them. Because, well, probably because they're a little bit more modern. And it's really interesting to see how people can take a story and then reimagining it and adding their own twist to that.
I do get what it's like not liking classics because you feel like you can't connect to modern ideas, but something I want to bring up is, I guess I'm taking a new meaning of the word classics, but Marlene and I are in Latin class, and we've recently gone over some, like, ancient Greek myths. One of them was Daphne and Apollo, and the one we're currently reading is Daedalus and Icarus. And even in those, we see a lot of phrases we use today, like finishing touch or... what was the other one?
Yeah, so in, what was it, Daphne and Apollo?
Breathing down her neck. Like, a lot of things that we use today come from ancient Greek myths. So I think it's cool because not just, like, phrases, but, like, overall lessons and ideas come from, like, so long ago, because universal themes, I feel like, have always been there in human history. So, yeah.
That's not something I'd expect, breathing down your neck and finishing touch to have been told thousands of years ago. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. Classics aren't just like, yeah, they also include Greek myths. I did not think about that at all. Good point.
Did you share what your favorite classics are?
Ooh, yes. So going back to what Miss Redberg said and what I said before, my favorite classics definitely are Jane Austen. I think a tie between Emma, Persuasion, and Pride and Prejudice, but I think right now I really like Persuasion because it has, like, second chance romance and, like, I don't know, just, like, challenging societal pressures and like beliefs. And there's also a lot of movies of Jane Austen classics. I know there's a recent movie of Persuasion, one for Emma, and then countless retellings of Pride and Prejudice. And I think those are also really good. But yeah, that's just my personal thought. All right. You guys want to get into the classics, that retellings that we read, since, you know, that's our chapter today. I can start us off. So one of them that I read, I feel like it's not necessarily like a full retelling, but there's this book called The Mother-Daughter Book Club. It's by Heather Vogel Frederick. And it's like basically what the title suggests, a mother-daughter book club. And in the first book, they read Little Women. And the funny thing is there's lots of parallels between like the story of Little Women and then like what goes on in the book club. And I feel like it's just so curious because every chapter starts with a quote from Little Women. And then that quote kind of like, I guess, foreshadows what's about to happen in the chapter. So I feel like it's an interesting way to put a touch on such an old book.
Yeah, so I feel like I bent the rules a little bit. I read the graphic novel version of The Handmaid's Tale. I'm not even sure if like The Handmaid's Tale is considered a classic. I don't know. But yeah, it was very interesting. I really liked how the illustrations kind of tied in with the dialogue and they incorporated that, which is really cool.
Yeah, and could you tell us what The Handmaid's Tale is about for people who are unfamiliar?
Yeah, so it's basically about like a utopian society where women, the like main responsibility is giving birth. So that's kind of like, there's a lot of sexism and it's very interesting.
Good to know, okay. What about you, Carly? What did you read?
I read the retelling. I hate The Great Gatsby, so many people might be surprised at this, but I read the retelling of Great Gatsby called Self-Made Boys. I picked it up a couple months ago in the library when I was supposed to be doing homework, and it intrigued me, and I planned on reading it, but never got to it. So when this came up, I was like, okay, I have to read it now. And the beginning and most of the story was really well done. I believe I liked how the author spun the characters on it with their own unique twist. The ending I thought was good. I haven't had a lot of time to think about it, so I would like to talk it out with Miss Breadbrook, who I believe has some questions on it.
I have some strong opinions about the ending. Maybe not opinions, but I can't. We'll talk about it offline because it would be spoilers.
And
I
don't want to okay.
Sorry for That's those fair. Who want to hear those opinions.
But I do. It's one of my favorite authors. It's Macklemore. I forgot their first name.
What are their pronouns again?
I'm not sure about that either. Okay. I'm thinking they, them, but I'm not 100% sure.
Let's check.
But they have a bunch of really, they have one that has, within the book, has a retelling of the Ugly Duckling as this beautiful allegory for the trans experience. And it's Rohan Blanca, maybe. I don't remember. Oh, I'm doing so bad. But Self-Made Boys is a part of a series of books that are being retelling classics to an LGBT perspective.
I read another one. What was it? My Dear Henry, which is the technically next book in that series after Self-Made Boys. I read My Dear Henry. It's like Jekyll and Hyde retelling.
Oh.
I would say Self-Made Boys, I liked it a little bit better. I thought it was a little bit better told, better written than My Dear Henry, but it My Dear Henry was still very good.
Mm-hmm. It's all LGBT. It's Latinx LGBT characters in the 1920s.
Okay. Not all Latinx. One of them, the first is...
Self-Made Boys is Latinx.
Yes.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit more what the twist of Self-Made Boys is? How it's different from the regular Great Gatsby?
A couple of the characters are trans. You can do it.
Yeah. Like she said, the main character, Nicholas Garavillo, he is Latinx and trans.
Mm-hmm.
And his cousin, Daisy, what was it? Caravillo Fabregio? I forget her last name. But she's his cousin, and she travels to New York ahead of him and makes herself white so that she can marry Tom Buchanan, who is his a duck. A duck in the retelling as he is in the original. And Nicholas Garavillo travels to New York in order to make some money. And like that was the main twist, the fact that he's trans and the fact that Gatsby is also trans. And there were a lot of more LGBTQ characters in there and a lot more people of color, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you ever thought after reading The Great Gatsby that Gatsby deserved better and that Nick deserved better. I think this book you'll definitely like because...
Yeah, have you read this one too?
I haven't read it, but I know that me, Marlena, and Lucy have all read The Great Gatsby since it's required reading for 11th grade. And I think I especially felt that clearly, like, the only person that cared about Gatsby was Nick. And so the fact that this book puts them, correct me if I'm wrong, but are they the main love interest, Nick and Gatsby and Self-Made Boys? Or is there somebody else?
What?
Are they the main love interests?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, main lovers, and then there's another Daisy twist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daisy and somebody who I'm not going to name. It's really unexpected twist, but it's good.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming, but in hindsight, makes a good amount of sense.
Okay. I just found the author, Anne-Marie McLemore? Yeah. So. You know her. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to cut in. The book I actually read, it had a lot of Shakespearean retellings, and one of them was a retelling of my favorite Shakespearean story, which was A Midsummer Night's Dream, and she became one of my favorite authors, or they, I think, and that was Anne-Marie McLemore. Like, I think that's exactly who you're talking about. They, they have so much great stuff. I could just talk about some of the Shakespearean stories I read. One of them was a retelling of Romeo and Juliet, but it was all through texts. I really like all these new modern retellings of Romeo and Juliet. I know it's book club, but I did see a musical of it recently with, do you know one of the main characters from Heartstopper? Who is Nick again? Who played him?
Oh my gosh, yes.
It was
him
and then Rachel Zegler from The Hunger Games and West Side Story, I believe. I saw them and they also did it in a modern light. And I feel like it's good because these ideas of,
just
you know,
on a button, that's Kit Connor, I think.
Kit Connor, okay, I was thinking of him. I really believe that those ideas and a lot of Shakespearean stories are really prevalent today. That's why it's been covered so many times, because that idea of loving someone to the point of wanting to do everything for them, I feel like is really powerful, especially in a world where people are trying to drive you apart. So, yeah.
I would just like to make a note, slightly off topic. But Anne-Marie McLemore, I actually have read one of her other books, or their other book, sorry, if I'm using the author's pronouns wrong, called Venom and Vow, with not a classic retelling, sadly, but really, really good with someone who, a prince and an assassin who sometimes dressed as a female, sometimes dresses as a boy. That person, the assassin, switches between both. And they end up kind of falling in love. And this, I'm explaining it really badly. But they end up falling in love. They try to kill each other. End up falling in love. It's very interesting. Very complex.
Very enemies to lovers is what I'm hearing.
Sort of, yes. And just please remember, Venom and Vow, Anna by Anne-Marie McLemore.
I did look it up. They are non-binary and they use things.
Okay. Perfect. So great author overall. Sounds good. Yeah. And okay, so one I read, it's called If I'm Being Honest. Also, like Lucy, it is a Shakespearean retelling. It's Taming of the Shrew. It's by Emily Wibberly and Austin Sigmund Broco, which are a great writing duo. They have a lot of other books, so I highly recommend you check out their stuff. Basically, the main character is Cameron, and she's a really popular girl at her private high school in LA, and she's kind of like a mean girl basically, and she has this crush. Her crush's name is Andrew, and apparently like she slips up in front of him and he realizes that she's like really superficial and just mean to everybody. So to try to like win him over, she goes on this quest to like fix all the mistakes that she's done, including bullying this guy in her grade. And then overall, when she's on this quest to, like, better herself to appear, appear more likable and desirable to her crush, she ends up falling in love with somebody else. And it's really similar to 10 Things I Hate About You, if you've ever watched that, since that's also a retelling of Taming of the Shrew. But I think why retellings of Shakespeare are so just successful is because a lot of times Shakespeare texts are really dense and, like, the vocab is really difficult. Whereas in these retellings, we still get the main ideas, the themes, but in ways that are more relevant and relatable for us. Did any of you also read any other Shakespeare retellings or Jane Austen, any other classics authors?
I did, but I want to know did you read a collection of short stories that were Shakespeare retellings?
I did, yes.
I would like to know about that.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's called That Way Madness Lies. I love it. I honestly found out so many. I kind of spiraled from there. Like, as soon as that was my first big collection. And as soon as I saw some of the authors, I like started reading more of their books that were also short stories in other collections. So, but yeah, I think, what I really liked was one of them was a retelling of Twelfth Night. And I feel like that also, you're talking about how you think, like in The Great Gatsby, how you thought Nick and Gatsby should have ended up together. Well, if in Twelfth Night you thought that, you know how one of them falls for another, but then they kind of end up with these people they barely know when they fell for each other, but they were the same gender. Those people end up together in this one. It's in high school. It's about a school dance, and the theme of it is a shipwreck, which kind of relates back to how everyone was brought together by a shipwreck. So I really liked that. Like I said, the Romeo and Juliet one was about rival schools, actually, and it was told through texts. And then the third one I'm thinking of was the one by Anna Marie McLemore, right? And they wrote about it from the perspective of the child. I don't know if you remember, but in A Midsummer Night's Dream, they're fighting over a child. Like that's why the king and queen are upset.
Yes.
I believe
Titanian
it's like
an Ober.
And like an, it's like an
Oberon.
I think it's like an, I forget if it's like a Native American or an Indian child. Like they weren't super specific.
I think it was an Indian child.
Indian child. Yeah.
Indian boy.
Yeah. Anyways, they kind of gender bend it, and it's basically the perspective of the girl that kind of grew up.
Oh, okay.
And that grew up like in there among all these like really white fairies, and like they're kind of seen as property. And I feel like it conveys a really powerful message about, race, because really, if you think about the premise of it, it's kind of messed up. Like, they were arguing over this child they had no claim to, and that kind of started all of it. So I feel like all three of those stories, the collection is called That Way Madness Lies. I would highly recommend checking it out.
So I read two.
Okay.
One was James by Percival Everett.
I know that one. How did you feel about it? It's on my TBR.
I've heard of it.
It was so good.
Okay.
It was one of my top reads of last year. 5 stars. Could not put it down. I think I literally read it in one day. Now, I happened to be off work that day, so it was a little bit easier to read it all in one day, but it's not a very long book. But James is a retelling of Huck Finn from the perspective of Jim the slave. And it's phenomenal. But it's just it's a theme of giving Jim humanity, which in the original book, Jim is a prop for the story more than he is a character with his own arc. And this, the focus is obviously on Jim, but one of the interesting things about it had an interesting ending too, which relates to my thoughts about the ending of Self-Made Boys. But again, I'm not going to give spoilers. in Jim, Aaron James, code switches, which if you don't know what code switching means, it refers to speaking in different dialects depending on who you're talking to. Well, that's one of the definitions of code switching. And in James, he speaks with that dialect that's in Huck Finn in front of white people in an effort to humble himself in front of white people so that they don't think of him as someone who thinks of himself as being too good. Phenomenal book. Highly recommended. The other one I read was also a short one. And it is by T. Kingfisher, which if you've never read any of her books, I highly recommend them. She had a book that was viral on TikTok a few years ago called Nettle and Bone. But she has a lot of very phenomenal fantasy books that I'm a big, big fan of. And she wrote a book called Thorn Hedge, which is a retelling of
Briar Rose. I remember I work at a library as a page, and I remember shelving that and wanting to read it.
It's a great one. It's also short, so a good one to just kind of throw in there for a fantasy read. But Thorn Hedge is from the perspective of the fairy who has put Sleeping Beauty into her eternal sleep. But she has done that to protect everyone else. And it turns out, like, so the backstory is that she was a changeling that was born to the king and the queen, and changelings are frowned upon. And so the fairy world took the changeling and went and raised her in another world where time works differently. and put in her place another baby.
Oh, wow.
And so then 5 days later in the real world, 20 years later in the fairy world, they have now raised the child of the king and the queen to be a fairy to watch over the baby who took her place. And so this is from the perspective of the real daughter, who is now a fairy, who has put the fake daughter into an eternal sleep as like an 8-year-old or something.
Wow, that's a crazy twist. I think related to, yeah, going back to like fairy tales, I don't remember the name of this book, but I did see there's a retelling of Cinderella where it's like the girl that, I think her name is still Ella, but the girl decides to claim that she's Cinderella is actually not the one that danced with the prince at the ball.
I remember that one. I have it on my list. I just recently saw it and.
Perfect. If you could find like the author.
I actually have another Cinderella retelling. I'm going to interrupt you.
Go after. Okay. Is it, Cinderella's not dead.
Cinderella is dead. I remember thinking, what the heck is that? And I read it and I don't remember a lot of it. So I can't really talk about it very well, but I remember that it was good and I enjoyed it. So please read it.
Yeah, I think that like retellings of fairy tales, especially like I know already that Disney's probably changed a lot of things from like the old folk tales from like, you know, centuries ago. But I just like the fact that with retellings, like these classics can keep evolving and keep changing so that they're relevant to society now. Since there were clearly like some things in the stories that were very problematic, even though it was like considered acceptable back then. I know with like Cinderella and like the Little Mermaid, like the real Brothers Grimm, like Hans Christian Andersen, those tales were pretty dark. So the fact that they like got rid of that and like made it more kid friendly, made it more palatable. It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
There was, well, on the tale of talk of fairy tales, there's one fairy tale series I absolutely love, would highly recommend it. It's called the Bone Spindle series. And the biggest fairy, it's like a combination of Rapunzel, little bit of Rapunzel there, little bit of Red Riding Hood. Oh, gods. But the biggest, there's one more, but the biggest fairy tale it's based off of is, Sleeping Beauty. And in this one, the roles of Sleeping Beauty are switched. So it's the male who is cursed, and it's the female who has to go and save him.
Mm.
And this time, instead of like two strangers kissing, which was weird in the original, somehow the male's like spirit or ghost or whatever travels along with the female, so they get to know each other and fall in love before she kisses him.
You know what, on the same topic, there's a series called Hagenheim, I think, where it's like all of the fairy tale classics, so like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, I think there's Rapunzel in there, except it's set in like 1400s Germany, so it's definitely like a time jump to back then, and I think there is like a bit of religion involved too, but I just think it's interesting how like,
wait, I think
yes,
I've
Hagenheim
heard of the series.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a really interesting
series.
It is series.
Religious, so I would say I remember reading a couple and then
there are
got,
a few that like I
would
definitely skip some pages, but like I
read
think
a
that
read a book or two
and then see
stop,
what your thing
and
yeah
then
exactly.
I would like it's a series I would go back to, but since it's very much God will save me, Christian faith. I would read a book or two
and then
go back to it a couple of weeks later. Like, take
fair
breaks.
Enough.
If
I think
you're not a big,
a non-religious
if you're
one,
a big Christian, go ahead. But if
go
you're
for
not,
it. If you're not, then like, yeah, and I'm not either. I think another one that I think I'm thinking of is A Curse So Dark and Lonely. I think that's,
I've heard of that.
A retelling of Beauty and the Beast.
I read the sample of it. That one, if you're like into the really intense YA where it's, cause I'm not quite, but like
high fantasy,
not just high fantasy, but it's like really, really deeply
like world building. Are you trying
no.
to
say? For me, there's YA and then like where people die and it's like heartbreaking because the people who die, you don't want them to die. And it's like the betrayals and it's intense, emotionally intense.
Okay, fair enough. So, there's
so
a lot
if
of
you
trauma.
Like that kind of stuff, then I would definitely recommend it. I'm not a huge fan of that, so I haven't read it yet.
Fair enough. And also, I'd like to say, I think the main character has, like, I want to say...
Cerebral palsy.
Yeah, cerebral palsy.
Yes,
so
she has
representation
one
too.
Leg.
I think
it's like, one leg that... She has cerebral palsy, but I think it's one leg mainly that's affected. But it's very interesting because I read Out of My Mind years ago. So I had the assumption that if you have cerebral palsy, your whole body is affected. So I haven't read the book, but I read the sample. And reading the sample, even that little bit, helped me realize, like, reshape some assumptions I had.
Fair enough. Does anyone have any other recommendations for, like, classics retellings? We can also shift to, like, movies, potentially.
I'm trying to find the Cinderella thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, like, everybody that's read Out of My Mind has loved it. I really loved it when I was in middle school, and I've read it multiple times. But going back to the classics retelling, what Coy Lee was mentioning reminded me of Ella Enchanted, which I read in middle school, which is, like, amazing retelling of Cinderella. It kind of combines, like it's a very funny book, but there's a little twist on it because the main character, Cinderella, there was, like, a curse placed on her where she had to, like, follow every order ever given to her. So it really, yeah, it's very interesting.
There's a movie as well with Anne Hathaway and I think Hugh Dancy. Yes. Highly recommend. Yes. And yeah, honestly, yeah, we can also include children's literature because, I mean, they have a lot of good retellings there.
I found it. It's called Liar's Kingdom, the retelling Cinderella, where she's not actually the one who went to the ball, but she's extremely, very badly abused by her stepfamily. And so she's like, sees a chance, the slipper fits, and she takes it. So I think it's kind of like, she's not exactly a hero, she's not exactly a villain, but seeing the story where this girl, who I believe does lie a lot, because there's mentions of that, but like she's just, you can't blame her for it, because she's just trying to find a way in the world, and she's in a bad situation, and she has to. So I like that.
Interesting. Do you have any other books that you want to recommend, Lucy? It can also be just like children's literature, because, yeah, anything works.
I think I'm good on books. Are you guys?
Yeah.
I could put a plug in for Gregor Maguire. Wicked, I think, is phenomenal. This is adult world. So, like, this is adult fiction. It's not YA. It's not children's. And Wicked is obviously notoriously very different from the movie. I love both, or very different from the musical. They're very different. But he has a lot of books that are retellings. He has Ugly Stepsister, which is a retelling of Cinderella, and Mirror Mirror, which is a retelling of Snow White, and then some other ones. But with each of those, he takes the essential question from that's kind of a theme of the fairy tale and then reworks it. So Wicked is, what is the definition of evil and who is really evil and who does society call evil? And his argument would be sometimes activists and people who are fighting for the underdog. And then Ugly Stepsister is, what is the definition of beauty? And Mirror Mirror is about innocence.
Okay, and this sounds kind of like another one I was thinking of that I just remembered, Twisted Tales, where I think there's like 17 books now where it's pretty similar, where they have like a synopsis for like different books. I remember the Beauty and the Beast one was like, what if the sorceress was actually like Belle's mother or something like that? And I do recommend that as well. They have 17 books and I think they're still growing. And yeah, they're all classics retellings and they're pretty good, I would say.
I haven't read this one, but it's called Wish of the Wicked. So it's Cinderella's story, but from the perspective of the fairy godmother and why she decided to help Cinderella, which is not as pure a reason or as good a reason as you think. So I thought the brief premise sounds very interesting. So if anyone wants to take it a try, you could. There's also that author who wrote Wish of the Wicked also wrote the Dorothy Must Die series. Mm. So if any of you know those and like that series, she's written some other fairy tale retellings.
All right. Well, we've really given a lot of recommendations. I hope we've given you a lot to think about and hope that you maybe check out some of the books that we've recommended. I think that is all we have for you guys today. This has been the Book for the Month podcast. We are your host, Shri Gori.
And Smiley Lena.
And we have had
Lucy,
Carly,
and Miss Redberg.
See you guys later. Bye.
The Book for the Month podcast has been a production of Audio Journal. Our program has been archived and can be easily accessed by visiting the Audio Journal website at www.audiojournal.org or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or Android. Thank you for listening, and if you have any suggestions for our book club, please let us know by sending a message to info@audiojournal.org. Happy reading, everyone! Join us next month on Audio Journal.